when you were on the election campaign trail, your main promise, which is why a lot of people voted for you, was that you would be able to delay Article 50. That obviously hasn't happened. What do you want to say to the voters who voted for you on that promise?
Well, my promise is that I would vote against Article 50, which I completely fulfilled my promise there. I did vote against Article 50. What we said to the voters was that if they voted for me in the by-election, it would send a very strong signal to Theresa May about how voters felt about Article 50. And I believe that it did, but not enough at this time to stop it going through. And really, the reason for that, and we couldn't have anticipated this at the time of the by-election campaign, was that Labour just rolled over and voted with the government on it. I think if they hadn't done that, I think there would have been a lot more Tory MPs who would have been brave enough to vote against the government, and that could have stopped Article 50 going ahead in its current form. But the fact is, it's gone through, it's unamended, and the government have not faced any real opposition on it from the Labour Party. So obviously, Article 50 got triggered yesterday, but there's still a very, very long way to go. The Liberal Democrats are still determined to oppose it, oppose a hard Brexit in every way that we can. I'm more optimistic now that Labour will come and join us in that. They've certainly been saying the right things over the last few days and weeks. There's a long way still to go on this. Yes, Article 50 has been triggered. But we found out yesterday as well that it is possible to reverse the triggering of Article 50. So there's still a lot that we can do.
If Article 50 was reversed, which is what the Lib Dems want, you know, they would have us back in Europe. But what is the point?
Well, so there's two things. Firstly, you know, Mrs. May has talked about this great deal. She's talked about what she wants from it. But it was very interesting. I was in the chamber yesterday and I was listening to her statement on the triggering of Article 50. And all the things that she said she wanted, she wants a free trade deal. She wants security cooperation. She wants, you know, to continue the sort of environmental and workplace regulations and all of these things. It's like she wants all the benefits of being in the EU. She just doesn't want to be in the EU, and it's a really contradictory position. And I think if we get into the negotiations and we find that actually we aren't going to be able to achieve all the things we want to achieve outside the EU, then public opinion might shift quite quickly to actually ask, well, why are we leaving?
But is it not right that she keeps her cards close to her chest? No one's going to divulge information on any deals.
I don't think she has kept her cards close to her chest. Since January in her Lancaster House speech, she's made it very clear where her priorities lie. And she's made it clear that her priority is reducing immigration, leaving the single market, leaving the ECJ. So I'm not sure that she has kept her cards close to her chest in that sense. But equally, I fundamentally disagree that she should just be allowed to get on with it in secret and then emerge at the end of the process and tell us all what kind of future relationship with Europe we're going to have. We're all here, we MPs in Parliament, whatever party we represent, to challenge the government and say, actually, this is what my constituents want. These are the things that my constituents are concerned about. And so, no, I completely disagree that she should just get on and do it in private.
The more I speak to people, the more listeners who ring us and talk to us, they're of the mindset now that it has been done and it's time to get on with it. So why are the Lib Dems so intent on trying to reverse something when it's sort of a fait accompli?
Well, it's not a fait accompli. Article 50 has been triggered, but we've now got at least 2 years of negotiations with our European partners to see what kind of relationship we have in the future. So it's certainly not a fait accompli. But I have a great deal of sympathy with everybody who's saying, let's get on with it. Because what I found in my few months in Parliament is that the Article 50, the Brexit issue, is overshadowing everything else to such a massive extent. And what people really care about, and they still care about more than anything else, is the performance of their local hospital, the performance of their local schools, the environment, air quality. All of these things are actually of much greater concern to my constituents, to the people who speak to you, than Brexit or Article 50 are. That's for them, for most of them, that's just a bit of a sideshow. So when what I interpret people saying as let's just get on with it is like, let's stop talking about it and focus on the real issues. Sadly, we've seen today, you know, they're talking today, they're publishing the white paper for what they're calling the Great Repeal Bill today. It's just going to take up hundreds of hours of parliamentary time over the next 2 years. And there seems very little prospect that we will actually see any action from the government on any of these other issues. We've got a massive funding crisis in our schools. We know we've got a social care crisis in our health service. And I just can't see how the government are going to be able to effectively tackle some of these issues and conduct a negotiation with the EU at the same time.
I think when people say, let's just get on with it, I think a lot of people who I've spoken to feel that, you know, we've gone so far, to go back now would be damaging. Because can you honestly say that if we did come back into Europe, that it would be open arms and a nice welcome?
I don't know. I mean, Donald Tusk yesterday, upon receipt of our letter triggering Article 50, he said, we miss you already. And I think there would be quite a lot of political will within Europe to reverse the process if we indicated that that's what we wanted.
Donald Tusk, though. What about Angela Merkel?
Well, equally, I mean, the EU are keen to maintain their position, and they feel that they are stronger with Britain inside it than outside it. They don't want us to leave. So, I mean, it is all about the politics. I think if the EU found it was in their best interest to have us back, then I think they would. But, I mean, in terms of it's damaging. I think what we really, really want to prevent is a very, very damaging Brexit. So, I mean, our priority or our objective is to get the best possible outcome for Britain. Now, we don't make any secret of the fact that as Lib Dems, we always thought that the best possible outcome is remaining in the EU. And if that's not possible, then let's keep negotiating, let's keep challenging the government to make sure that they do come up with the best possible outcome.
One of the big Brexit arguments was to reduce immigration. And then one of the Lib Dems' counterclaims was, well, we need immigration to run our hospitals, our schools. Should we not also be training our young people to want to work in hospitals, to be doctors, to be plumbers, electricians? Should Brexit not open the way for our young people?
Absolutely, we should be doing that. One of the things I find frustrating about Theresa, that one of the things Theresa May has said she would like to do is to open more grammar schools. And to me, that puts the emphasis in entirely the wrong part of education. What we really need to be doing is focusing our resources and our time on developing the skills training. So I absolutely do think we should be developing the skills of our young people, and it's something that we've ignored for decades. It's important to remember, of course, that being members of the European Union has never prevented us from training our young people, if we'd ever had the political will to do that. But
the Lib Dems were in government, so why was that not at the forefront then, before we even talked about Brexit?
Well, it certainly was on our agenda. I can't honestly talk in a huge amount of detail about what we did when we were in the coalition, because I wasn't there. Oh, yes. I mean, I think the point about immigration is as much about volume as about anything else. We've seen just in the last week that applications from EU nurses to register for the NHS has dropped by 75% since the referendum. We just don't have the number of people available to be trained up, even if we had the right schemes in place to train them and the right funding available, we just wouldn't be able to fill that gap in the short term. So that's the issue, that, you know, if we withdraw and if we suddenly find, I don't want us to talk about turning off a tap, but you know what I mean, that we aren't able to attract new people in the same way that we were in the past, you know, it takes some time to train people up. And the other point to make, of course, is that actually we've got very low unemployment in this country at the moment. So it's not as if there's loads and loads and loads of British people just waiting to be trained up for a job. I do think we need to funnel our young people into high-skilled work rather than low-skilled.
You should train up to be a plumber. What's wrong with being a plumber or with being a brickie or anything like that? Not everyone is going to go into a high-powered... Mm. And it's the same thing, not everyone should go to university.
The mood music from the government is not about a parity of esteem between academic and skills training. It absolutely should be, and that's where the rhetoric is. But what they're doing is prioritising grammar school education, prioritising academic education, prioritising people going to university. They need to do the exact opposite of what they're doing.
One of the best schools in southwest London and Surrey is Tiffin School, which is a grammar school. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with having a grammar school?
There's nothing wrong with having a grammar school. Tiffin is a great school. I'm not taking anything away from Tiffin. I think one thing, an important point about Tiffin, of course, is it's not strictly a local school. It doesn't just serve pupils from Kingston and Richmond. It takes pupils from a very wide area, and therefore it's a bit of an exception. It's not just a school that selects the brightest in the two immediate boroughs. It takes from a very, very wide area. There's nothing wrong with that. My issue is that Theresa May's current priority